And Mosaic starts now. Each of the Gospels portrays Jesus a little differently, different perspective on the nature of Jesus. Matthew starts with the genealogy of Jesus. Matthew writes to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. Mark dives directly into the life and ministry of Jesus to show that Jesus is servant-hearted and sacrificial. Luke explains, I'm going to give you a detailed account of the life of Jesus. And Luke writes to show that Jesus is the Savior of the world.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. But John's gospel is different. It really is. Most scholars believe that John was written after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So John has a little more freedom. This is the final gospel. He knows what Matthew, Mark, and Luke have already written down. So he takes a little different perspective on the life of Jesus. The first half of the book of John, Gospel of John, covers the first 3 years of Jesus' life. And the last half of John covers the final week of Jesus' life. It's interesting. In John 20, verse 31, we'll put it up here on the slide, John gives us the purpose statement for this book, the Gospel of John. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in Him, in Jesus, you will have life by the power of His name. John writes, so that we might continue to believe, so that you and I might continue believing in Jesus. Now, believe is one of those words that's easy to skip over because it's familiar and it's kind of a churchy word, believe. But I want to explain a little bit about the word believe. And I've borrowed my mother's walker to explain. Some of you know Mom. She's down at a independent living facility in Florida, and probably the last 10 years, I'd be my guess, she's had the walker, and everywhere Glenn she goes, the walker goes. And the reason for it, it provides stability. It keeps her from tripping, it keeps her from slipping, it gives support. And everywhere she goes, she leans and puts her weight on the walker. Do you understand? That's the purpose of a walker. That's what we're talking about here in the Gospel of John. John is saying, I'm writing this gospel so that as you move throughout your life, as you move forward in life, you'll know where to put the weight of your life on. You'll know as you take the next step where exactly you're going to lean and rely and depend. Because the truth is, we're all leaning and depending and relying on something. Some of us might be relying on a relationship or your job. Some of us, we lean and depend on our portfolios or even our political platforms. Some of us, we lean and depend and rely on our family or maybe your good health. We all are putting our weight on something. Catch this. John is writing and he's saying, I'm wanting you to put the full weight of your life on Jesus. That's why I'm writing. That's the purpose. I want you to believe, which means put the full weight of your life squarely on Jesus Christ. He's there. Put your hope, put your confidence, believe in the name of Jesus. And John puts special emphasis, catch this, on Jesus being the Son of God, okay? If you're going to believe in Jesus, we need to believe in his biblical identity, what God's Word declares him to be. And that's exactly how John begins this gospel. He introduces Jesus in John 1, and we're going to look at that in just a moment, as deity for all eternity. Jesus is deity for all of eternity. Jesus is fully God. And that's how he presents him as this gospel starts out. Okay? John 1, 1 to 5, Jesus Christ is the eternal Word, the creator of everything, the one who reveals the light and the life of God to this dark world. If you haven't already, locate either on your phone, in your Bible. We're in John chapter 1. Would you stand with me? And let's read out loud together. This is God's Word. We stand in reverence and awe of God's book. Here we go. Read with me. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought life to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your Word, the Bible, that tells us things that we wouldn't know without it. Thank you, Lord, for this deep and profound section of your Word that tells us about your Son, Jesus. Help us today to stand in awe of the second person of the Trinity. And might we be willing, as we learn of who he is and what he's all about, to serve him. And Lord, help us to be willing to share the good news with those that you bring into our lives. I want to pause and pray specifically. Lord, we've got some folks here who are in a season of struggle, of pain. Some here today are feeling alone, a bit lost this morning. I'm asking, Lord, that as they're with the church family today, would you bring them hope and strength and encouragement? Remind each and every person here today, those watching online, they're not alone in this journey. They're not. Speak, Lord. Your church, we're listening. We're ready to hear from you. And all the church family in Walloon said with one united voice, amen. Nice job. You may be seated. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning should ring a familiar bell. I hope it does. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. John is telling us, track with me, that the person he's writing about here in his gospel was active and alive in the activities of Genesis 1 and 2. He's tying Genesis 1 and 2 to this person he's talking about. And if you slide down to verse 17, who is he talking about? He's talking here about Jesus Christ. Okay? He's talking about Jesus. So in the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ. Catch this. And Jesus was with God the Father, and Jesus was God the Son. That's what he's explaining here. The apostle wants us to know right from the start of his gospel, Jesus Christ is the Word, and he's eternal in existence. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is forever. That's what he's saying here. He wants us to kind of sit and stand in awe of Jesus as God, okay? As the one who reveals the unseen God to us. Jesus is the image, the one who represents the awesome God in physical form. Just as a word reveals an unseen thought. Got it? In the beginning was the Word. The Word is the Greek word logos. Words are powerful. Words have the power of life and death. So when Jesus is identified as the Word of God, he's making clear that Jesus is God. Okay? The expression of God, the manifestation of God with skin on. Okay? Jesus is the very presence of God in human form. Big concept. Huge. Massive. He's saying the Logos, the Word, was the Theos, the God. I'll say that again. Jesus is the Logos, the Word, and he is the God, the Theos. Meaning Jesus didn't just speak words, he is the Word. Jesus didn't just come to share good news, Jesus is the good news. He is eternal God. Can I just pause and say that's what separates biblical Christianity from all the other religions and cults in the world. That fact separates Christianity from Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Mormonism, from Jehovah Witnesses. Jesus is God. Capital G. Capital G. Okay? Distinct person from the Father and the Spirit, but Jesus is God, the second person of the Trinity. That is a key foundational fact of Christianity. And that's how John wants to start his gospel. He wants us to know this about Jesus. So, Jesus is eternal. He's existed forever. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. He's God with skin on. Then John declares to us that Jesus, this is amazing to me, is the creator of everything. Jesus is the creator. Where do you see that? Go back to the text. God created everything through him, Jesus. And nothing was created except through Jesus. Verse 4, the Word, that's Jesus, gave life to everything that was created. Jesus is the creative and creator person of the Trinity. So, Jesus is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Jesus is the creator of the billions of angels. Jesus is the creator of the trillions of galaxies in the universe. And by the way, we're discovering more and more as the telescopes get better and better just how big this universe is that Jesus created. Colossians chapter 1, here's what Paul says about that. We'll put it on the screen. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Christ existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through Christ, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Jesus and for Jesus. Verse 17, Jesus existed before anything else, and Jesus is the super glue that holds all things together. Yeah. Both John and Paul tells us Jesus is the person of the Godhead, Father, Son, Spirit. Jesus is the one who created everything in the universe. Okay? The creator of all things, therefore, himself must be uncreated. If he created everything, then Jesus is uncreated. And only the eternal God is uncreated. Meaning, Jesus is the eternal God, the second person of the Trinity. So, put it this way, Jesus is the uncreated, creative creator. That's a tongue twister. Want to say it with me? Jesus is the uncreative, creative creator. Yeah. So it shouldn't be a surprise. It's not a coincidence that this doctrine is so strongly attacked, the biblical doctrine of creation. If Jesus created everything out of nothing by the word of his power, then contrary to what atheists claim, matter is not eternal, only God is eternal. Tracking with me? Only God is eternal. In other words, if Jesus is the creator, then he is God, which means I am not, and you are not. And that's a foundational lesson for all of us to learn in life. Okay, let's just pause for a few moments now and ponder just how big the creation is that Jesus has created. Think with me, how big is that creation? Dan, you can go ahead and show some of the pretty pictures up here. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, has approximately 200 billion stars, just like our sun. 200 billion stars in our galaxy, the Milky Way. Next question. Well, how many galaxies are there in the universe? Scientist by the name of Kornreich, he's an astronomer with the Hubble telescope. After some experiments, here's his current guess. You ready? There are approximately 10 trillion galaxies. 10 trillion galaxies. And each of those 10 trillion galaxies contains hundreds of billions of stars. If you want to know the number of stars, that's one with 24 zeros after it. That's, and here's what Kornreich adds, that's likely a gross underestimate. Because the more we see, the better our technology gets, the more we realize how awesome is the universe that Jesus created. So, what does John want us to understand right out of the gate about Jesus? What does John want us to do in response to Jesus Christ? Here we go. He wants us to know Jesus was and is God Almighty. And he wants us to know Jesus is the creator who spoke into existence the 10 trillion galaxies in our universe, okay? And that little baby that Mary pushed out of her body is the awesome, eternal creator of everything and everyone. That's what he wants us to know, okay? The same word who took on flesh spoke the light to destroy the darkness. Jesus shaped the oceans and he designed DNA. Jesus imagined the color of every sunset and the sound of every thunderclap. Jesus, from the smallest particle to the farthest galaxy, all of that came through Jesus. Every mountain, every molecule, every star, every soul are all stamped with the fingerprints of Jesus. That's what he wants us to know. And get that wow factor about Jesus. So Jesus is the eternal and forever, existed forever, Son of God. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's the creator of everything. And then he says, last part of verse 4, he's the author of life and the light of the world. And his life brought light to everyone. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now, John uses the word life 36 times in his gospel. 36 times, more than any other New Testament book, okay? The word, the Greek word that John is using here, life, is Zoe, Z-O-E, which means spiritual life, as opposed to bios, which describes physical life, okay? So, here we go. Plug that into verse 4. Jesus came to earth to bring spiritual life to all of us who are dead in our sins and living in spiritual darkness. That's what he's saying here. Meaning, Jesus brings humanity the life of salvation in himself. Jesus brings us Zoe, brand new spiritual life in Jesus Christ. You go, wow. Okay? Go ahead, put some slides up here, Dan, because I want to talk about Zoe, about life. Yeah. This is Zoe. Last Sunday, 11 of you publicly declared that you'd went from darkness to life as you got baptized with water. And Pastor Brandt, excited to share, 14 of you raised your hand to say yes to Jesus last Sunday and welcome him into your life. And 12 more at our campuses in East Jordan and Lansing. So you go, 26 Zoes happened last Sunday. That's life that's brought to us by Jesus Christ when he brings his light into our worlds. That's life. That's light. And do you remember what Jesus declared? John 8, verse 12, up here. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the life that leads to life. The light that leads to Zoe. Satan's kingdom is the domain of darkness, but Jesus is the source of light and life that shines bright in this lost world. Okay? And here's what you need to know. Even a small candle in a dark room brings life, brings light to a dark room. And the brilliant, glorious light of the Lord Jesus will utterly destroy Satan's dark, evil kingdom. Okay? It's coming. That's the book of Revelation. Okay? That light of Jesus, verse 5, can never be extinguished. They crucified Jesus on a Roman cross, sealed Jesus up in a borrowed tomb with guards and boulders, but they couldn't keep Jesus down. Why? Early Sunday morning, what happened? He arose, defeated sin and Satan and death, and brought light and life to all those who will believe. John's point, opening verses. Jesus is the eternal Word. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, God with skin on. Jesus is the creator of everything. Jesus is the life and the light of God in this dark world. So, what do we do with this? What is it that we should learn? What's John trying to get us to do with this opening section? And here's what I think he's saying. What do you really believe? What are you putting the weight of your life on that you say you believe? That's what he's trying to get to. That's his purpose statement for the entire book. What are you trusting in? What are you leaning on? What are you depending on today, October 12, 2025? This question determines everything. Everything. And here's what John is saying. I'm challenging you, put the full weight of your life on Jesus. Put the full weight of your everyday as you move around, put the full weight of your life squarely on Jesus. Because it's so easy, you don't even realize it, but you start trusting in your financial security until there's a recession. You start trusting in your good health until there's a grim diagnosis. You depend on a relationship until there's a difficult breakup. And we just need to know, put your full weight on Jesus. Put all of your life squarely, daily, on Jesus. So here's my next question. How do you do that? How exactly do we put our full weight on Jesus? Would you slide down to verse 12, chapter 1? Because he gives us an answer right away. How do we put our full weight of our daily lives on Jesus? Here's what he says. Verse 12. But to all who believe in Jesus, to all who accept Jesus, Jesus gave the right to become children of God. Verse 13. They're reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Three key words. Three key words. How do we put the full weight of our life on Jesus? Okay? Believe is the first word. He says, but to all who believe in Jesus, believe that God left the glory and splendor of heaven and took on human form and took our place on the cross, shed his blood on the cross so that we might have life and light. That's first step, believe. Second, go back to verse 12. But to all who believe in Jesus, to all who will accept Jesus. Second word, accept Jesus into your life. It's one thing to know about Jesus. It's one thing to know the facts about Jesus. Matter of fact, James 2:19 tells us, Satan's demons know the facts. They know the facts, but they've never welcomed Jesus into their life. They've never accepted Jesus as their Savior and King. So what's the second step? Open the door of your life. Swing the door of your life open and accept Jesus as God and Creator and King of my life. Third, and when you believe, and when you welcome and accept, it says you become. You become a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isn't that cool? When we accept Jesus, we believe what he's done for us on the cross, shedding his blood, taking our place in the tomb, rising from the dead. When we welcome him in to take charge and be the king and the boss and the creator, Jesus says, you know what? I give you the privilege, the honor to become royal members of the family of Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Is that not cool? Jesus says, you're going to become part of my family, my eternal royal family, Scott. You know, there's lots of famous people on the planet, 2025. And I realized, even as I looked up, there's several different lists about who's the most famous person on planet Earth. You know who it is? You know, this surprised me. In most of the lists, it was a soccer player, Cristiano Ronaldo. So, of course, France says, yeah, of course. Right up there next to him, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Taylor Swift, Elon Musk, President Trump, former President Obama. I could go on. But if I could just say, you know, hey, Henry, you and I, we're going to go lunch with the president, or we're going to go out play golf with LeBron and Oprah, or all these, you know, we go, ooh, these rich, powerful, important people. Come back with me. Jesus Christ is offering us to join his family. Think about that. A forever family. The eternal creator of the cosmos, who spoke 10 trillion galaxies into existence, he says, you know what? I want you to be a part of my family. That's why I took on human form. That's why I came, to bring you life. Won't you accept this free offer? I'll treat you as one of my chosen children. You know, knowing Michael Jordan or Brad Pitt or Paul McCartney, or you could name someone famous, that might be nice. You know, having lunch with Beyonce or Tom Hanks might be fun. But knowing Jesus personally is awesome. It's life. It's game changer. It's a life changer. Won't you put the full weight of your life on Jesus today? That's what he's asking. He said, believe in what I've done for you and welcome me in. Game changer. Life changer. Let's pray. Lord, we just pause now and are overwhelmed with who you are. And as we pause, would you show us where we've been putting the weight of our life recently? Make it clear. Make it obvious to us. Speak. What are we believing and leaning on and trusting? Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, Zoe, spiritual, everlasting life to the full. Have you welcomed Jesus and said yes to him by faith? Today can be the first day of a brand new life in Jesus. Is that not amazing? Today, you can start leaning and putting your full weight on Jesus. Jesus is God with skin on. He took your place on the cross. Jesus shed his blood for your sin and mine so that we could have life and light. Do you believe that for you? Jesus, I believe. I believe that for me. By faith, I believe you took my place. And the second step is to accept, to welcome Jesus into your life. open the door and welcome Jesus, your Creator, to come in and take charge of you. And if you'll believe, and if you'll welcome and accept Him in, He gives you the right to become a member of His royal family. And you go, whoa. If you're watching online, you can hit that prayer button right now. One of our online staff, they'll have a personal conversation with you. If you're here in person right now, we've got a prayer corner. Pastor Brandt, Pastor Chad, or myself, we'd love to get you going in your new relationship with Jesus. Yeah. And here's the truth. You can know Jesus personally, and you can have put your full weight on Jesus, but it's easy to start leaning on other things as times get challenging. You've been leaning on control or money or reputation or politics or a relationship or your strengths. Maybe for you today, the challenge is, Jesus, come running back, I'm yours. I give you my fear, my plans, my people, my future. I'm going to turn from lesser things and come running back to you, Jesus. Fill me with your life. Flood me with your light. And again, hit that prayer button if you're watching online. Make your way over to the prayer corner or see one of us. We'd love to talk and listen and help you go to begin putting your full weight on Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for just this small section of John. It's small, but it's mighty, and it's powerful. So thank you, Lord, that we get to study and worship you in your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.